To brass tacks.
Morning,
the big news today internationally is that this giant ship that has been blocking the Suez Canal has finally been freed after a mammoth salvage operation using tugboats. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you this morning?
I'm well, and you?
Not bad. I think that the second thing you steal what I was supposed to talk about with the consultants and things that the government have hired, because we don't know how many, we don't know how they're getting paid, and as you're totally correct, they have people out there that don't have food, don't know where a meal of food is going to come from. You see, we have to get with reality, you know? We have to get with reality. And I think what I'm very disappointed sometimes in what is the government is doing to the people of this country, too. And, you know, with the lockdown that's going to happen, you know, the Friday, the Sunday, and the Monday. Well, you know, at least Friday they should have given the churches that people can go to church, Good Friday, and worship. I think they could have done that. But
no, I just want to say that we have just been through a pretty painful exercise for many people. I mean, I spoke to somebody last night who drew to my attention that a close relative had died. This person was a dialysis patient, and according to the information that they have, it appears as though the person might have contracted the COVID as a consequence of having to go through the process of dialysis. I have heard other people talk about a situation with dialysis patients and COVID. Of course, that is not something that, you know, we've got to be probing to find out what the truth is on that. But people go through experiences that make them come to certain conclusions. One of the things that the person said to me was that they got little or no information at one stage, and they have actually... People talk a lot about Dr. Corey Ford, but there is a young doctor at the Harrison Point station there who has been outstanding in the way that he has communicated with people about their loved ones who have been there. Because one of the greatest casualties of this COVID situation has been the fact that people have real problems trying to get information from the authorities about what happened to the people who might have gone to the hospital and gone and then had to be taken to Harrison Point and stuff like that. This is one part of it that appears to have been missing. People called me and they say that the situation that erupted with the nursing home in St. John, once the government took over, they also felt that they weren't getting information about their loved ones. But I say all of that to make the point that we've been through a very difficult period together. And I can understand the government's desire to try to avoid any repetition of that. And, you know, I see what the government is doing over these coming weekends in that context. A real desire to try to make sure that, given the fact that we've had community spread and all of that, then we're going to take action. And as you know, sometimes you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. There are things that we look at and we say, look, this don't look right. This does not ring right. And then there are others that you say, well, look, I can understand it. And this is what. But I would say to you, I can understand this one. We're trying to stop a resurgence of this disease. we've had so many difficulties, some that the government has reported, there are others that people on the ground know about. You know, you can't, you know, you wouldn't, everything is not put out there for public consumption. So what are you going to do? Are you going to agree to err on the side of caution, ma'am?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying also, right, is that, you know, I'm not talking that everybody go out and that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about, you know, the tradition of Good Friday is a very, very sacred thing in Christian community. And Good Friday is special. It's a special day because that is where the day Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. You know, so we like to celebrate it and reflect on that. But apart from that there now, with your statement or saying about the consultants and those kind of people, you see what happened to us, right? That is what you get when you put in 30 people and no opposition. I hope we do not make the same mistake in 2023 quite soon here. I hope we need to have an opposition. At least 6 people or so from the government should go. I think so, because we really need to have voices in Barbados speaking.
I have a bit of a different view on this, huh? I want to say to you that any weakness that you see in the opposition has more to do with the opposition itself than whether they have seats in Parliament or not. This is a very important point. Because you don't need to have seats in Parliament in Barbados today to make your presence felt as an opposition party. And I'll say this, I want you to go back to how this Labour Party functioned in the last 5 years of the Dems. They couldn't get access to TV. They did have a presence in Parliament, that is true. But they didn't rely exclusively on their presence in Parliament. This is a period where you have so much access to technology. You got the internet. You don't have to sit down and wait on television and the radio stations and stuff like that anymore. You can put out your own stuff. So I am not going to accept that what you see as the weakness in the opposition has to do with the fact that they ain't got any seats in Parliament. Something else is at work.
No, Mr. Ellis, I ain't saying that. We need the opposition. You don't think that you can form a party? I will help you. And a lot of people out there will help you.
what I'm suggesting to you is that you can make your presence felt as a party in Barbados today without necessarily having a seat in Parliament. That is, if the infrastructure of your party is strong enough to allow you to do so. That's my view.
So there's
a bit more that you need. First of all, you need to have people who are committed. Political parties today have a lot of hangers-on. People who want the glory, who want to get up and beat their chests and say that they are politicians, all right? But when it comes to the actual work, a lot of them are weak in that regard. And that's across the political divide, all right? They don't know how to go about it. And as a result, the load falls on only a few shoulders. Now, let me say to you, is that peculiar to political parties in Barbados?
Yes, it is.
No. If any most organizations in Barbados have that as a problem.
Yeah.
The president and the secretary and the rest sit down and freeload. You set up a body of people to look at something. One person presents a document. The other 3 or 4 people who sit down there do nothing. All they do is come and nitpick at the document that has been presented. That's how we are. We don't have a lot of people who work. We got a lot of people who criticize.
Yeah, that is true too.
All right.
You're on a lot ball of criticism. You're on a ball, Mr. Ellis, and it's good. I enjoying your program. You have a nice day.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. You know, I want to tell you all that sitting here doing this program, you come up against those people who want to suggest that once you take on something that the government has done and you don't agree with it, you're anti-government. And when you don't support the Democratic Labour Party's position, they remind you that, as I've been reminded by so many people from time to time, that I helped bring down the Democratic Labour Party. But that's not the issue, you know. The issue here is trying to recognize that when you deal with politics and politicians, things are skewed in a particular way as to trick you, to mamagai you, to fool you into believing that you are getting what you're not. And they believe that the essence of a good politician is the one that can fool the most people most effectively. So I work in recognizing that there's a core of people in this country who want more than that. Those people represent a minority because the political parties carry the majority. When you look at the B's, you look at the D's, they carry the majority. But that small minority in there searching for truth, they're the people who switch from time to time and cause governments to win and governments to lose. I count myself among those people who search for truth and a better understanding of what is happening. And at every turn to expose when somebody trying to trick me. So that is where I stand on it, just in case you are curious. I know at the end of the day, I can make no difference to some of you. He's still a BRD. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Okay, I'm good. No matter who is in power, like you said, it's always people make their choices. So always whoever is in, the other party is always going to be, you know, finding fault, criticizing, all the other stuff. In reference to going to church Good Friday, I mean, it's a pandemic out there. And if, okay, Good Friday is sacred. You can stay home and worship. So I don't see what's the big issue of running to go to church Good Friday. I mean, worship God from your heart, from your house, you know. I don't understand what's all the problem.
But you know, that's about what you've been accustomed to, though, you know. You know, there are a lot of people who really, really miss the face-to-face. Like school. Yeah, the students miss face-to-face presentations with their teachers. So what makes you feel that people who go to church don't miss that too?
I'm not saying, yeah, I miss church too, but I'm not going to put myself, you know, in danger. I don't think God's going to hold me.
So how would you go about it? How would you do that? I mean, you're a churchgoer.
Of course.
So how have you adjusted to the change as it relates to church services and that sort of thing?
I've pulled out my Bible more. I have worship in my home. I mean, whenever the services are coming in, whenever I don't have anything to do, I sit down and spend time with God, one-on-one. So am I missing being out there in public to a point? Yes, but I'm looking at my safety first.
Churches are allowed to, people are allowed to go to church. What's the difference is that you still have to physically distance, and you also have to look at the numbers. So some churches are so small that they have to be concerned that they don't put too many people in small spaces and then contribute
exactly
to possibly spreading the virus. So even though churches are open for Easter, you're still likely to find that a lot of people are going to have to stay away. They're going to have to stay home. And they're the ones who are worried about, you know, not being able to have the kind of fellowship, as they call it, with one another. I think we just have to adjust to this. I mean, we've been going through this for quite some time. And I don't know that we had Easter last year. We had a similar situation.
Exactly.
So I don't know that it is something that you need to be so worried about. Just adjust to it as best as you can. Has worship itself changed for you as somebody going online to participate in service?
No, worship hasn't changed for me. I don't think I have to be a priest. I mean, it's my love for God, and it's an individual thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I do my own. I do my own thing.
Are you a Pentecostal or evangelical, as they call it, or are you from either one of the more longer established?
I was born in the Anglican.
Pardon?
I've been raised in the Anglican as an Anglican.
You're an Anglican, right.
But I have also been to Pentecostal churches, which I enjoy. And it's not
so the church that you are with right now is Pentecostal, or is it Anglican?
No, Anglican.
It's Anglican. Mm-hmm. Now, you, since you've been to both, isn't it possible that the person who is from the Pentecostal faith may well feel more cheated of the fellowship because of the exuberance with which people who are Pentecostals actually manifest their faith while at church? The talking in tongues, standing on their feet, putting their hands in the air,
jumping
those types of things.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down. So, you know, isn't a possibility that you could feel cheated?
Of course. Why not? I'm not saying that you won't feel cheated or you're not going to miss what you're accustomed to, but I'm looking at the circumstances right now, especially if you are vulnerable, you know, if you're vulnerable, worship God from home. Praise God. When you do get the chance to go back out there, then you go.
Well, there are a lot of people who are vulnerable, and it would be interesting to get a sense of how worship has changed over the last year for people and what a difference it has made to their lives. I mean, to what extent do you feel as though, well, I'm still missing something here because I haven't been to church, I haven't been able to interact. And then what about the people who actually go to church and still have to physically distance in the way that you didn't have to do before? Does that make a difference?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't, but
it
could.
It all boils down to my love for God and serving Him, and I do what I have to do for me in the meantime onto things, hopefully.
So fellowship isn't important?
Huh?
Fellowship isn't important?
Of course it is. But what are you going to do right now? If you have a church that could only hold 50 people and 200 turn up, what happened? What are you going to do? Still size?
I'm not talking about the numbers, increasing the numbers. I'm just searching for the way that things have changed to such a degree that even when you go to church, because of the physical distance, it is not the same as pre-COVID.
Of course. We know that it's not the same. It might never ever be the same again. Who knows that? We don't know that.
Right.
But what are you going to do? You have to adapt to whatever comes. Hopefully, maybe things will get back to a point where people can go back to church. People look forward to that, you know? Hopefully, we'll get back to that. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for taking the time to come and share your point of view on this with us. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, sir. What I realize in some people, right, is that they don't understand the difference between a shutdown or lockdown and the curfew. Because there was a lady speaking to you not long, not the one before, the one before her. And she doesn't understand that she can go to church Good Friday if she's one of the persons that are maybe registered to get to attend service. And I think she leave you with the expectation that she can't go, that she has to stay home. And it's only after the other lady spoke to you that you clarify that they can go to church. So I hope she's listening and know she can go if she encourages her to, because I think they have to register in order to go in order to make up the numbers that the Attorney General has said that could attend service. And I think a lot of people are puzzled if they can go to church Easter and Good Friday still, because they seem to have mixed understanding of if they can leave home or if they can't. I know that you are versatile on these issues. I would like you to explain to them the difference between a lockdown and a curfew, and the ones that are being lifted, so that I believe the more elder persons who can understand that they can still move around if they have to do what they have to do. Thank you.
Well, I think that you've got to deal with the specifics. The following businesses, according to the latest directive, the following businesses and establishments and organizations are not permitted to operate at any time. Bars, cinemas, gyms, dance studios, dojos, and yoga studios, and like establishments, nightclubs and discotheques, pleasure craft operations, and private boat charters. On Sunday, the 28th of March, Friday, the 2nd of April, Sunday, the 4th of April, Monday, the 5th of April, and Sunday, the 11th of April, only the following non-essential services shall be permitted to open in the manner specified. Bakeries, for the baking of bread only, between the hours of 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. Cleaning services that clean for essential services and businesses to which this paragraph applies. Farms between 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. Fuel manufacturers, fuel storage facilities, and fuel distributors for the entire day. All right. Gasoline stations for the sale of products relating to motor vehicles. Petroleum products, including liquefied petroleum gas, commonly referred to as bottle gas, and for the sale of top-ups for mobile telephones and pharmaceuticals between 7 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon, hotels and villas and other rental accommodation for the entire day, including restaurants, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and manufacturers of beverages and dairy products, food processors and food distributors between 7 in the morning and 7 in the afternoon. Pharmacies for the sale of pharmaceuticals and the filling of prescriptions. That's important for many of you, between 8 o'clock and 4. Remember the pharmacies for the filling of prescriptions between 8 and 4. Sugar factories for the entire day. Tire shops, record services, and emergency personnel for vehicle response only as needed.